I don't want to keep us too long because I feel like there's already been a hearty meal. Kan jy my hoor, Hendrik? Jy loer vir my. Is the sound all right? I'm hello, Alan. Nice to have you guys. Welcome, the Motley crew from Stillby. It's lovely to have you guys with us. Just pass around the tithes and offering boxes quickly. I know we started very differently this morning. Just for those of you who arrived at 9 o'clock thinking, oh, church starts at 9. Well, it doesn't. It starts at 8:30. Actually, we always get together and pray together as a congregation at 8:30. And I just felt this morning to pray upstairs. We normally pray downstairs, but I felt to be praying upstairs and just really sense that, we're just starting to worship, go straight into worship. So if you are with us for the first time, I see you guys look new. Welcome. Haven't met you guys. Welcome to you guys. Anyone else for the first time here with us this morning? Good morning. Welcome. Lovely to have anyone else that I haven't seen first time with us here. You, welcome. How's it? Lekker. Just we've got a brochure that tells you a bit about us, and it also gives you a free cappuccino, unless you've had your free cappuccino already. But just tells you a little bit about us. You're welcome to fill it in. Give us your details, and we'll make contact with you during the week. And, it's just a little bit about us. We are in the process of just beefing up some of our admin. So very soon we're going to distribute a link address where you can get the announcements, like just at the click of a button for what's happening in the life of the church, who the leaders are in this congregation. And also for our visitors, we are part of a multi-site church that meets across the Western Cape, based in Cape Town. We're one of the, I don't know how many congregations now, kind of thing. But it is so beautiful to be part of something bigger. I was chatting to someone earlier this week, and I was just going, EJ, how's it? Nice to see you. Just chatting to someone earlier this week, and he was talking about planting, and I was like, yes, I would not want to plant out a church on my own. I think it's the scariest thing ever, kind of thing. Just getting to a place where you're doing your own thing. And I'm so grateful for the family that I'm part of. For our visitors, my name's Chad, and I lead the congregation with Dan and Nardis. Hop along, Nardis. Almost there. We got another hop along in the congregation as well today, Fernando. But we elders here. In this congregation, we have another congregation that meets here in the evening. They meet at 4 o'clock. I know that the sign says 5 o'clock outside. We need to change that because it should be 4 o'clock. They meet at 4 o'clock in the evening. That's a different congregation, bunch of other crazy people that love Jesus as well. And we are very excited. I think just a few things before I share quickly around the word. Not next Sunday, but the following Sunday, there will be no service here. Yay. Yay, because we're all in Cape Town at conference. So that is very exciting. Yeah. So if you have just joined us and you've just visited and you think, yes, this is a Lekker church, I want to come back, you're going to have to hold on. Unfortunately, there are no more tickets to come to the conference. I think it's pretty much sold out. There are day tickets available, but actually I think those are sold out as well. I think, I was chatting to a guy this week, and he was like, I tried to get day tickets, and they sold out already. I think it was for the Saturday. It was sold out already. It might be for the Friday and the Sunday. We have a conference with all the other 412 churches. We're part of a greater network of churches under apostolic teaching. Andrew Selly leads the apostolic network that we're part of. He also planted Joshua Generation about 25 years ago. And so we are a network of churches that have one heart, one mind, one vision, to build New Testament church. You look like you had something there. Oh, are they? Thank you. There we go. They will be releasing more day tickets. Oh, I must phone my friend because he was keen. He's from Cape Town. Okay, so they will be releasing more day tickets. But I think for you guys, it might be a bit challenging because we all got to go there anyway, get accommodation. How many of us are tenting it, kind of camping? Yes. There we go. I'm so excited to be camping. And I know we've been also sending out the word in community to help each other with tents, sort each other out if there are any challenges with getting a tent. Hey, Bruce, you guys got a tent yet? Sorted? Getting there? Getting there? Colin, you guys getting there? You're getting there? Great. That's awesome. don't know if there's anyone else. Jeannie, I think you sorted with the hosting, so you don't need a tent. Hey, you're getting hosted. Just if there's anyone needing camping gear, chat to your community leader. If it's a community. We'll take extra knives and forks for you and that kind of thing. We'll be brying together. We'll be having lots of fun. So from Friday, yes, Josh is amped kind of thing. I think there's a worship party Thursday night happening already, pre-conference kind of thing. I think the guys are organizing a worship party. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be amazing. And the best thing of it is we get to sit under apostolic teaching. We don't just go to have fun. We do go to have fun because sitting under apostolic teaching is fun. It is fun. It is, eh? But it's such an opportunity to sit under really solid teachers that really love the Lord and have really led us well. There's a bit of a video clip showing some highlights from previous years. I think last year there were over 5,500 people. I think this year so far, they must be close to that already. But the amazing thing this year, what does that mean? I won't be on stage this year, I promise. No, I can't promise that. Eh? I can't help myself. Eh? I can't promise that. The amazing thing this year is they're meeting over 3 locations across the country. Pretoria, East London, and Cape Town. And so what an incredible privilege to be part of this network of churches who love Jesus passionately and are building church, New Testament church. I'm excited. I mean, we've been part of Josh Gen and 412 since it started, basically. And it's my life has changed. I was sharing with someone yesterday. Actually, I met this guy quickly. He had a near-death experience, died, felt he saw heaven, and he was relaying. I was like, well, tell me what happened kind of thing. And he just started relaying this encounter that he had. And then I just looked at him and said, I have that experience every day of my life. I don't have to wait till I die to experience that. And he looked at me and I said, because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And God, and as I said it, I just suddenly realized what a privilege to love God, to be in relationship with the living God, that actually I don't have to wait till I die. Yes, when I die, my body will be perfect and I won't have the aches and pains and the crick in my neck that I have this morning or the sore foot or whatever, or the lump on my finger that's growing, whatever it might be. I've got this weird lump on my finger. I don't know what it is. Anyway, it's my nose-picking finger. It must be, sorry. No, Chad, stop it. Squirrel. But I tell you what, to just know that having a relationship with Jesus Christ is life-changing. And as I shared with this guy, I mean, this guy, by the sounds of things, he's next-level intelligent kind of thing. I've never met someone quite like this guy. He's like inventing things next. He's got patents and all these crazy inventions all over the world. But just to realize that he might have all the money, he might have all the knowledge and the wisdom, but he doesn't have Jesus Christ. He doesn't have a relationship. And even I said to him, that experience, near-death experience you had, if you don't follow Jesus and you haven't given your life to Jesus, you won't actually experience that one day when you really do die. And he had some other thoughts, but anyway, so I didn't want to get into an argument with him. But I trust that a seed was sown, and I think he's got my number, so I'm scared. I'm not scared. I'm excited. I'm excited. So trusting that he would come to salvation. Amen. Quickly as well, on the 25th of October, we're going to have a very exciting event. Have we got that slide? We are going to be hosting our first night market, which is very exciting. On the 25th of October, we're looking for guys to get involved. We're looking for stalls and that kind of thing. We're going to be selling, and none of the proceeds are going to the church. It's just for the individuals to exhibit their things that they make and sell or whatever, and good food. Maybe we'll have live music. Trev, we need to chat to Sam, I think. Maybe get Sam jammed down and like have a live music. But when part of the vision of when we got this whole venue was for us to utilize that courtyard, have a night market, reach the community, like advertise it like broad and wide in George, and just have a great fun evening together. So that's going to be happening. If you are interested, chat to Grace. Where's Gracie? There she's at the back with a little baby. Or Cor, there's an amazing husband. And so let's get involved. For those of you who are always involved, give someone else a turn. These guys that hog everything, they hog all the jobs, There's lots of you like going, there's not an opportunity for me to get involved. So how can I get involved? Well, here's an opportunity. We're not going to, let's think towards that. Chat to Cor and Grace. Cool. There is nothing else really happening much over our calendar period. I would like to also highlight, round about that time of the 25th of October, we'll also start putting out wordies. We're having the privilege of the Rooted students from the Benoni Church join us for a week. City on a Hill Church in Benoni, there's the Year of Your Life students. There's about 12 of them, and the guys leading the program, there's about a couple and a single guy. They're going to be coming to the Southern Cape. They're going to spend a week in Mossel Bay, and then they're going to spend a week with us. And we're going to need to host them. Another great opportunity to host. I was hearing France's incredible stories. He loves hosting. They hosted the Dutchies last week and had a beautiful time. And so, yeah, we're going to have another opportunity to host. So Esther's going to be helping me just coordinate that. So if you are able to host and you're available over the full, I think it's about six nights they're with us. We might split three nights here, three nights there, just because there are a lot of them. And I know we don't want to put too much pressure. There is a lot of stuff happening during the day for the students that between myself and the guy that's leading the team, we'll be organizing. And obviously in the evenings, they'll come and serve in the night market, so we'll rope them in. But we need guys just to host them, accommodate, feed them, and help out. So if you are keen, where's Esther? There she is, beautiful Esther, standing at the back there waving. Did you see her? No one saw you, Esther. I think she's running after a child. So chat to Esther, and let's help out there. Okay, so that's happening towards the end of October. Wednesday, men's camp. No, men's camp's for Western Cape only. It's only for Western Cape because we're going for conference. That's a Western Cape thing. Yeah, it is. That's a decision we've made as elders. The Southern Cape guys. There is a men's camp happening in Cape Town, just so you know what you know. But because there's so many of us, we're going to do our own men's camp here next year sometime. All right, we will do it. Come and join Yahuwah. Who prays on a Friday morning here with us as men, hey? Come on. For the rest of you men that are sleeping at 6 o'clock, come and join us. I know some of us are getting ready for work and having to do the school run, understandable, but come and join us. It's power. Prayer times on a Friday morning are power. Then this Wednesday night, for community, we have various communities, and Dan and I just did have a quick conversation. Sorry, I didn't get a chance to chat to you because you were praying with someone. I would love for us to get together here and combined community, all right, just for us, and you'll see why now, because I don't think I'm going to get a chance to really do what I wanted to do this morning in my preach, so I want us to put it into practice on Wednesday night, but also because many of us are going off already next week to Cape Town. I think Dan and myself will be heading off to Cape Town already on Sunday. We start meetings on Monday. Some other guys are already going around, so just wanted an opportunity for us to get together before conference and to actually pray. Yes! I was like, could have heard a pin drop there. And it goes to show why I needed to preach on this topic this morning, because prayer is important, eh? Prayer is important. In Acts 2:42, we see how they devoted themselves to prayer. Thank you. They devoted themselves to prayer. Amen. A couple of weeks back, we devoted ourselves to breaking of bread, and I'm so excited to hear how that is happening in homes and in communities. Just a little side note on that. The danger in that is that we make it a religious thing. Our heart is never to make these things religious practices, but that they would always maintain their life. So prayer, breaking of bread, coming, gathering under the apostolic teaching, as we see in Acts 2:42, fellowship must never become a religious work. It needs to maintain life. So you need to pray and ask the Lord to give you creative ways of breaking bread together, creative ways of praying together. I mean, 2 years ago, we started meeting as men praying down, it was in here. And I tell you what, that thing has never become a religious thing. It's great. It's amazing. Someone's alarm's going. Is it yours, Clayton? It started 5 years ago, actually, in my lounge. And no, it started in my little back room that I have outside. And I think it was myself and Bob, actually, and Daniel Hulley. It was us, you. And I can't remember who else, but it was like three or four of us. And then we lost momentum. And then actually another guy came to me and said, hey, like, do you guys do a men's prayer? And I said, yeah, not really. And he said, could we? And I was like, yeah, why not? Let's do it. I've got faith for it because I love it when the men get together. And we started getting together. Now, Friday mornings rock. But that muscle of prayer is something we need to devote ourselves to. We need to strengthen it. We can't be this body with great legs and no arms, or like we know, Great legs, eh? You think, well, let's say great arms and no legs. We've got to bring about a wholeness, a balance in our spiritual armory. And prayer is one of those things. If I had to ask you, maybe like how many of us like love to pray? Yo, not even half of you. You don't love to pray. I thank you for being so honest and real. I really appreciate that, actually. That's beautiful that only half of us put up our hands, because it should be all of us should love to pray. We should be passionate about praying. We should really desire it, like every moment, be praying. But yet, I love the honesty that actually I don't think I really love to pray because it's hard. Am I right? Like, some of us really struggle. I tell you, some of us are really good at it. Some of us are powerhouses in prayer. I love Quinton. I love this man. When I met him, one of the first things we did together was pray. We were cycling on the mountain, and he stopped, and we were enjoying the view, and he was like, can we pray together? And I was like, this is my kind of guy. If I was a girl, I would. I'm teasing. Oh, baby, you're so sexy right now. I got to get, he's nodding his head. He goes, that's right. That's how I want Corin. No, we pray together. But we have to be a people of prayer. We have to love prayer. We have to do it. And so let's just open first. And I was thinking about this morning. Another thing we don't do that often is the public reading of lots of scripture. You know, we always share nuggets of scriptures. But let's read a portion of scripture together. And it starts in Matthew chapter 6 from verse 5. Reading from the ESV. Thank you, Rian. And this was Jesus speaking, and often it's entitled in your Bible, the Lord's Prayer, but actually I think it's the disciples' prayer, because Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray in that moment. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Now, don't take that scripture and say, I'm never going to pray out aloud, because I don't want to be that person. That's on the opposite. That's on the side of the pendulum. Those guys, all they ever did was, is everyone watching? Okay, I'm going to pray. Okay. Don't be like them, but stand in this. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Isn't that beautiful? And sometimes that catches us up. We say, well, why should I pray if he already knows? But he wants us to pray. But even though he knows it, he wants to hear it from us. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. And we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Is that it? So I know in the beginning there it says, go into your room and pray, but Jesus wasn't saying that's the only kind of prayer that you can do, all right? I mean, we see countless times when there was combined prayer times together. He was just giving them an opportunity to actually develop their prayer life. And he was giving them a little bit of a formula of how to pray. But when I think of that, I mean, I've often used I remember growing up actually in the Anglican church as a young boy, and I could verbatim repeat that. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And I used to try and say it as fast as I could and as quickly as I could to get through with it as a little boy every night. Hey? Vain repetition. Okay, go to bed and say your prayers, Chad. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, done. I used to try and say it how fast I could. And I've done my prayers kind of thing. But I never really saw the value in this prayer, this outline of prayer of our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom. I don't think they used all the hallowed be thy names and all that. I think that's how man has translated. But that's how I was taught it, the old English, the New King James Version. But as I've grown in my walk with God and as I've matured as a believer, I've realized that this was just an outline and it was really something helpful to me. And so I don't want to go into it too much, but I wanted to just lay that scripture because obviously there Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, and that's important. But what I wanted to pick up on this morning is these two things. Firstly, what is the value of a healthy prayer life? The value of healthy prayer life, and what are the things that hinder us in our prayer life? I wanted to just pick up on those two things quickly. And so I think firstly, and there is a lot of scripture, and we could really, there's a ton of scripture, and I shame my Rian came to me and he said, Can I get your scriptures? And the whole page is red, because that's what I normally do. I was like, sorry, but there's like about 20 scriptures here. But I'm just going to maybe pick up on a few things. I think for me, the most beautiful thing about prayer is that it deepens our relationship with God. In James, it says, draw near to him, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Deepens our relationship with him. How many of us are newly saved, maybe been saved in the last 6 months? They're not here this morning. Okay, all of us longer than 6 months. Okay, who's not saved? Let's start there. In the last 6 months, you've come to salvation. Okay, there was one or two guys here, but then obviously not here this morning. Okay, you've got in the last year, still. Yo, now I'm feeling shocking. There's one. One, there we go. There we go. One, two, there we go. Who's been saved for 5 years? Awesome. Sure, the rest of us have been saved for quite a long time, eh? So you oaks should be pros by now. Yeah, there we go. So do I need to? How deep and intimate is your relationship with the Lord? That's a good foundation. That prayer is that thing. When we lead guys to the Lord, one of the things we say is, now you've got to start to pray. And they look at you like, what does that mean? Why? It deepens our relationship with God. And so we need to be taught how to build this relationship with God, how to foster intimacy with him. Because he says, when we draw near to him, he's going to draw near to us. Isn't that beautiful? When we draw near to him, he draws near to us. Doesn't mean we just have to say a word. Like, he actually wants to listen. He lends his ear to us to hear us. And he comes and he sits there and he listens to us. And so prayer is that thing that fosters that intimacy with him. And so if you're only praying a few times a week, how intimate do you think your relationship is going to be with God? I'm married to this beautiful woman here. If I had to speak to her once a week, how close do you think we would be? Okay, where should I ask, who are those that challenge have communication challenges in their marriage? If I only had to speak to her once a week, how close do you think we would be? Not very close. Twice a week? A little bit closer? Still not. Let's take it even closer. If I did just greet her in the mornings and say goodnight to her, would we be close? We'd be flatmates, that's for sure. Not roommates, flatmates. But if I had to wake up every morning and look into her eyes and say, oh, my darling, good morning, I bring a cup of coffee, which I do. Every morning, except on my birthday, I get mine. And every now and again, she goes and makes a comment. She says, your birthday, baby. She teases me. But I take her coffee every morning. I've done that since the day we were married. And I love doing that just because I love her. And then we sit and we might read the word together. We sit in bed and we read. We talk about the day. We plan. We chat. Then if I haven't gone off to prayer meeting, that's one of the mornings I'm not off at a meeting kind of thing. But we have this intimate moment of just conversation. Sometimes the kids will come in and say, what were your mom and dad laughing about? And so then our day starts and we carry on. But our day is involved in maybe the conversation. Like, there's lots of communication. That's how we get intimate with each other. We're talking. And so if we're not talking regularly with Jesus, then maybe our intimacy with him is a little bit lacking. Because when we communicate, when we hear, and it's the thing as well, like, we need to learn to hear his voice. I mean, he knows what our voice sounds like. He definitely does. But we've got to learn to hear what his voice sounds like. And so that's part of the journey as believers and as Christians, is those that learn to hear the Father's voice. And I know how many of us think often prayer is a one-sided conversation. I've often heard guys say, I don't like praying because it feels like it's only me speaking. Well, maybe you need to keep quiet and listen and learn to listen, because that's also prayer. I might be laughing, but because I think we know I'm true. What I'm saying is true. Is that prayer between, it's a conversation. It's listening and speaking and listening and speaking. And it, I know initially for many of those that have been saved, maybe for some of us who have been saved for many years, we still struggle to hear and to recognize His voice. So we need to train ourselves and ask Him. And so when you know that you know, like even maybe it helps to go to someone and say, I think I heard the Lord speaking. What do you think? Like go come to your comm leader or what, the elders or the deacon and like, I think I heard the Lord say something to me. Like, I think so too. Or no, I think that was the pizza you had last night speaking. That wasn't Jesus. How do you many of you know that a value of prayer is that it provides us with much wisdom and guidance? I mean, I think that's, you know, often we think that's the number one thing for prayer is that we've always got to go asking for help. And we need help. And like often I'm like, please pray with me because I need this. Please pray with me because I need this. That, like, oh, please can we pray? I need healing. It's like, it feels like people are always wanting prayer for something. It's like that's the only language we hear. But prayer is so much more than that. What about just taking a moment to just appreciate creation and appreciate what you have? Just be thankful and grateful. Just to sit and just to, you know, we say, just smell the roses, smell the flowers, smell the daisies. Like sometimes that needs to happen in our prayers that we can just sit and say, Lord, thank you for these flowers. You know, we live in the most beautiful town, city in South Africa, I think. One of the most beautiful cities in South Africa. When I walk out into these mountains in the forest, I am overwhelmed. Often Dan and I run together and we always go, man, we don't take this for granted. And we just have a moment. Thank you, Jesus, that we get to run here together. Thank you that we get to enjoy your creation. So there the conversation starts of, thank you, Jesus. I'm worship. Our Father, which art in heaven, man, you're the creator of all this. Look at this. This is amazing. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. And that's drawing us closer to Him. It's not just about the shopping list that I've got to bring Him every 5 minutes when I've got a real need. This we need groceries, or we need to get to 412 and we can't afford it. Like, then we've got to ask Jesus. It's got to be more than just that. I mean, if that's all your focus is always on, you're missing so much. You know, prayer gives us such peace, such comfort. God blank me. How's this scripture? I'll just read this. That Philippians, it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Isn't that? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing that when we pray and when we foster this prayer life with Jesus, it actually gives us peace? Like I could say to that guy yesterday, man, you experienced, like he actually struggled to put into words his near-death experience that he had, or his death experience, and he didn't give me all the details, but just he couldn't like vocalize it, what actually happened in the moment. I said like, man, that peace that surpasses all understanding that I experience on a day, and it doesn't mean I'm not without turmoil. Let's put it, I'm not without stress sometimes, but I know that in the stress I have peace because I know who's in charge and I know who's in control. Because His word says that, don't be anxious. So when I do feel to, and I mean, how many of us are able to get anxious and just like carry on? No, when we get anxious, it stops us. But He says, don't be anxious. But in everything. And so in that moment, we allow the anxiousness to overtake us. What if we just stop for a moment and said, Lord, I'm starting to feel anxious. I don't want it to overtake me. And just to talk to Him and communicate with Him a little bit there and allow His peace to come over us for whatever the situation might be. We so often, it's like we forget these things. These are simple things. And we carry on and we wonder why our lives are just so crazy. But we're forgetting these things that He says, if you're anxious, just stop for a moment. And come before me. Many of us, I mean, I'm going to run through, otherwise I'm going to run out of time. We want to be witnesses. And we need to pray for boldness to witness. And He gives it to us. Even I think it was one of the disciples, I think it was Peter, he said like, you need to pray for me. Sorry, it wasn't Peter, it was Paul. He was saying, pray for me that the words given me may open my mouth to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. So we need to pray for boldness to proclaim the gospel. Some of us are just, we're just so itching to share the word, but we're so afraid and so shy, whatever it might be. Have you tried praying and asking God, or maybe getting somebody to pray with you for boldness, for courage, to be able to go and proclaim the good news? I don't stand here easily. As a young man, knowing that this was the call in my life, I had to really be praying and asking God for boldness, believe it or not. I was petrified to stand in front of people and speak. And even to make friends was the hardest thing for me to do, to meet strangers. I still remember camping one year with my family, and my there were these kids playing soccer, and I was sulking because I had no friends. And my dad was, just go and talk to the kids. Just go and introduce yourself. And like, no, I can't. Like, that was me. I was so insecure, so like, just couldn't do it. And I tell you, as I've fostered this intimacy with the Father and built my relationship with Him, He's given me a boldness to be able to stand up here and really not be afraid if I make a mistake or say something weird or. You know, before I go into the next, the last point of this, the thing I love about a value of prayer is that it promotes humility and surrender. It promotes humility. Like, I think it takes a humble man to ask for help. So it takes a humble man to admit when he's wrong. So firstly, prayer starts with us admitting that we've messed up and that we're wrong. We have to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I've messed up. I'm a sinner. I need you. I need you, Jesus. That takes a lot of courage to actually humble ourselves. And I think that's often why where we get stuck is because we're too proud and arrogant to actually ask Him to save us. He has saved. He died on the cross, but we've got to ask for His forgiveness. And so we need to humble ourselves in that moment to ask Him for forgiveness. So it promotes this attitude of just going, I'm all right. I'm okay. I don't need a Savior. I don't need anyone to help me. No, that's arrogant. That's proud. We need a Savior. We need to surrender. I think even that thing of surrendering our lives, and like even as men, we like, men have got to have it together. You know, we got to be the stark manner, you bet. And even that thing of just humbling ourselves and admitting our weaknesses and our frailties before Him shows great strength. So what are the things that hinder us from prayer? And this was actually, funny enough, when I was in Malawi at the beginning of the year, I actually felt this thing of like, what are the things that hinder us from prayer, from God answering our prayers? Some of us often, I've been praying, God's not answering my prayers. Like, it feels like I've been asking Him 100 times, and maybe He's like, stop nagging me. And sorry, that was naughty. No, actually, a value of prayer is to develop endurance. I'm just like going to throw that in there, that actually we need to endure in our prayer, not give up praying. Not nagging, but not giving up. There's a difference. All right. Nagging makes it all about me. Why didn't He do this for me? But enduring in our prayer life and asking and trusting in Him for breakthrough, no matter what the outcome might be. Because so often our prayer life is aimed at because the outcome must affect me and make my life better. But it's not about you. It's about Him. So is the outcome going to bring Him glory? So what hinders our prayers? What stops God from listening? Why won't He hear us? Why are the heavens like brass? Have you heard that expression? Brass, copper. Sorry. Sorry. That's a sideline family joke. Go watch the genie. It's that Aladdin's thing. It's a kid's cartoon. Sin and unrepentance. That's the first thing. It says in Isaiah, it says, our iniquities have separated us from God. Our sins have hidden His face so that He will not hear. Psalm 66 says, if I have cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. If your prayers are not being heard, it's like, almost like you can have this checkpoint. Check number one, is there sin in my life? Is there sin in my life? Is there unrepentant sin in my life? Am I caught in a habitual form of sin? Because we all mess up. We all make mistakes. But do we make right? Do we repent? Are we quick to repent? Or do we like, no one will notice, I can carry on. No one will notice, I can carry on. Are we, Jesus is watching you. Sorry. Jesus is watching you. You know that joke, eh? Yeah, look at the guys that are laughing. They know that joke. Jesus is watching. He knows. Everything done in darkness, he knows. What about unforgiveness and bitterness? And so Ross touched on that last week when he was with you about having issues with our brothers and the gap and the seed of, what was it, the seed of? Bitterness. And I said to him after reflecting on his speech, I said there was that one scripture which I thought was actually so key, which he never brought up. And it's actually the thing about the unresolved issues in Matthew chapter 5. Let's put that scripture up. And how's this one? If you forgive, no, Matthew 5, sorry. Did you get that? I actually didn't give it to you. Sorry, it was a late minute one during worship. That's why. Matthew 5, 23 to 24. Sorry, it was a last minute one during worship. I remember the scripture. So I didn't give it to you originally. Let's just wait for that one because it's actually cool. But I mean, Ross was great in that thing of narrowing the gap between one another and pulling together a relationship, guarding unity, because there's blessing in that. But how's this one when my dear friend and the technology that has been given to us cooperates with him? It's Matthew chapter 5. You can find it so long while he's from verse 23. Willem, you got it when you're sleeping. Awake. Yeah. There we go. Come to him. Is that from 25? 23 to 25, eh? Sorry. Can we just pause a moment? Because I really want you to see the scripture. It's not just Chad's words. This is what the Bible says. What? Have you got it there? Come, Kian, come read it for us. Quickly, come. Gorgeous man, playing piano so beautifully.
23. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and they remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to the terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison.
So that first part, so if you have an offering, basically if you want to come and worship and you know your brother's got an issue with you, before you worship, you know, Jesus is more interested about the relationship that you have with one another than your worship to him, basically. He's more interested in your relationship with your brother than your prayers. Whatever it might be, make sure that you're in right standing with your brother, because otherwise your worship's not going to be acceptable to him. That, and worship encompasses a number of things. Your tithe, your offering, your prayer. All of these things, eh? The way you serve. Isn't that worship? The way we serve, the guys serving us in Kids Church, that's worship to the Lord. Make sure everything you do, before you bring it to the Lord, you sort it out. So he's more interested about our relationship with the brother. So can our prayers then be hindered if our relationship with our brothers are not in good standing? Sort it out. And this is picking up on what Ross said last week. Sort it out. Unity. God, the unity. And then Matthew 6, it says, for if you forgive other people, then when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive other sins, then your Father will not forgive your sins. That's Matthew chapter 6. What are other things that hinder our prayer life? Pride. God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Pride and arrogance. Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier just now, it takes a humble person to come to the Lord and ask him for help. Ask him for things and even have conversation. We need to humble ourselves. What about lack of faith? Lack of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What about the wrong motives? We're praying for the wrong thing. Lord, please give me that Lamborghini so that I can pick up chicks. Wrong motive. Wrong motive. Eh? Lamborghini only takes one. Wrong motives. Oh, Lord, please, can I have this? Because I'm desperately looking for a wife. Like, here's one. Lord, please give me a wife so I don't struggle with lust. Ooh. Did I just say that? Yes. I've known guys that have prayed like that. Wrong motives. Ja, die dominee gaan reguit praat, né? What are your motives when you pray and you're asking God? Oh, Lord, if if you just let me do this, then I'll do that. Hey, Lord, if you just heal me, I will serve you for the rest of my life. If you just do this, I will do that. Come on, it's not a bartering system. God isn't into trading like that. It's not Bitcoin. Trust in him. These are the things. And I love that. Lack of perseverance. Lack of perseverance. That'll hinder our prayers. Why has the Lord not asked me? Well, have you been praying about it? Yeah, well, I asked him last week. And did you ask him every other day? No. We've got to persevere. We've got to persevere in our prayer. What about praying according to his will? Oh, that's like, so what is the will of God? How do I know that I'm praying his will? I've heard that question so many times. How do I know that's the will of the Father? Hey, what do you say? Read the word. Read the word. Spend time. I think that's a very, I just want to pause here because I think many of us like struggle with that one. Like, what is God's will for my life? Well, maybe ask him. That's prayer. You're going to spend some time saying, Lord, what is your will for my life? And instead of saying, Lord, I want to go and study this, if it be your will. No, Lord, what is your will? Ah, then he speaks to you. Okay, Lord. You see, instead of saying, Lord, if it be your will that I go and study this, if it be your will I do this, maybe different, maybe it's just phrasing, I don't know, maybe just me. But Lord, would you show me your will so that I can do what you're asking of me? I've heard this one as well. It's not the Lord's will that I go and share to those people the gospel. Rubbish. Rubbish. Like, I didn't go and pray for that person because it wasn't the Lord's will. It is the Lord's will that you share the gospel with everyone, regardless of who they're at, regardless of who they are. That's like a no-brainer kind of thing. I don't think God's very, but I think, what are the things that we need guidance on? We need to ask him what is the will for his will for our lives. Big decisions. Where am I going to live? What country? What town? What city? Where am I going to live? I think God needs to be in on that decision. It's not like, oh, you know, even this thing, I've been offered a job in Cape Town, and I'm going to pray that if that's the Lord's will. Have you heard that one? Won't you pray with me? Because I've been offered a job in Cape Town, and I just want to know that that's the Lord's will for my life. Well, that's a bit hard. Like, why don't you rather start saying, Lord, what is your will for me? And then something gets presented, and then go, guys, I've been praying for the Lord's will for my life. And now he's presented me with something. Something has been presented itself. Would you stand with me so that I can hear him and just really know that this is his will? Does it witness with you? That's why we have leaders, that there can be a witness. But I think often we get the job first or we get the opportunity first and then we ask if it's the Lord's will, you know. And that carrot is big. Trust me, that carrot's very, very tasty. And so how many of you know it's harder to hear God's will when that carrot's dangling right here? Eh? It is, eh? I've seen that time and time again when guys have come to us and say, oh, there's an opportunity to go here. And so is that the Lord's will? Well, I think so. But the opportunity is laced with money and like all these beautiful things. Or what about a wife or a husband? I've met this amazing woman. Yo, she's so lekker. Is that the Lord's will for your life? What if you had to ask the Lord first? Lord, I would pray that you give me, what is the Lord's will for you as a man or a woman? You see how it's the other way around, eh? What did I say? No, if I'm a man, I want a woman want a man. I go, not man or a woman. Just clarify there. Just clarify there. Thank you. For the recording, I was talking about opposite sex relationships. Thank you for clarifying. I'm going to end on this one because this for me actually... sorry, what? I'm glad we were laughing this morning because it's been a very serious weekend. We need a bit of laughter in our lives. I'm not trying to be funny. What? Here's one for the husbands. How many of you know that if you do not honor your wives, Now listen to me now seriously. Husbands, if you do not honor your wife as the weaker vessel, and that doesn't mean they're weaker than you. It's just it's an explanation of that she's different, not necessarily wired like you are. Okay. But if you don't show honor to her as the weaker vessel, your prayers may be hindered. Let's put it up. 1 Peter 3. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Mana, are you showing grace and honor to your wife as the weaker vessel, not as the inferior vessel, because she's a co-heir in the kingdom with you? As the weaker, wired differently, with different needs, with different tweaks, with different things, very different. I mean, I've been married to this woman for 22 years, I get it right, eh? 22 years, and I tell you what, I cannot treat her the same way I treat Dan, definitely not. Dan and I, we can be robust, we can like, if I do that with her, she'll just crumble and maybe burst out crying. She's wired differently. She's not weakling. She's not a. But you get for the point of illustration. And Dan's not my other husband. He's just my friend. he's my co-laborer in the kingdom. Right. I'm trying to illustrate a point here. Focus. But you know what I'm saying is if we're wondering why our prayers aren't answered, why are we struggling, maybe it's because we're not honoring our wives, because we're not loving them well. We need to be loving our wives with every ounce and fiber, because she is first our first church. And if we can't lead her, how can we lead the body? How can we even lead our own children if we can't lead her and love her well? Dan's just put his arm around his wife. He's pulling her close. It's good. Now this, you guys, what's happening there? Oh, there we go. He's got a sore knee. Men, hear me. If we want the Lord to answer our prayers, and this thing has been sitting with me so much, because so often I chat with men and like, feels like the walls are falling apart, or business is not happening, or the finances are not coming in. Like all these things. Like, are you loving your wife and honoring her? So a couple of points there. And I know it's been fun. I know we've had a bit of laughter. But the seriousness in this, I feel like the Lord is wanting to lift up the value of prayer. So we're going to get together on Wednesday night as a combined congregation. I hope Benny doesn't have the building. I don't think he has. But we're going to share. I know he won't. I will check. But as far as if we'll all come together and we'll spend some time in prayer, and we'll facilitate that in ways, in groups, because often when we get in a big group, like we'll have the same old people praying and those that struggle to pray in large crowds. But I tell you what, I think even in this morning, the time of worship came through about the freedom. And so already now, can you start preparing your hearts that the freedom that Christ we've spoken about this morning during worship, and the freedom that the Lord wants us to walk into, is that actually sometimes we can also pray out publicly. So I know Jesus, in that scripture I read in the beginning, was talking about praying in room and don't be like, that was because he had to smash some walls down. It wasn't that you can't pray publicly. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Jesus said, I must go into my room and close the door so no one can hear me. He was saying that in the context of that discussion, because they were looking at these Pharisees, who guys were just going boss and just looking for all the attention. But we need to come together and pray. That's the bottom line. And we need to exercise that muscle. We need to exercise it daily. I mean, the men have been exercising it on Friday morning, but it's more than just that. I hope you're exercising it in your home. Are you praying? If you're not praying, you need to start praying. You need to start fostering that intimacy with the Father. You need to develop it. You need to come before Him. And again, you need to be trusting Him. You need to find out what His will is for your life. There's so much that we need, but there's also so much thanks and praise that we can give Him. And so, shift our minds. And I know for some of us, we've heard this before. And I know I've heard this so many times as well. But I tell you what, it's the oil check. You know, it's like, pull out the dipstick, where's the oil? Clean it, check it out. Okay, the oil's a little low. Okay. Just let's fill it up, top it up. Kind of thing. Batteries, your battery ready? Is your battery right? Are you charged? Are you ready? Actually, battery better than oil right now. Because if the battery's not charged, you're not going to start that car. Some of us, our batteries are flat. It's like, it's like jump start. This might be the jump start that some of us need. So Wednesday night. But even now, already start preparing your heart, saying, Lord, like even trust, come with things that we want to, I'd love for you guys to come with some ideas of what we can pray for and into. Don't just leave it up to me. You know, my brain's going to be fried. Actually, I've just shot this out the window. Oh. Actually, I'm going to hand this over to you to lead on Wednesday, because I was supposed to take leave this week, and I've just forgotten about that. In my excitement and my passion for the church, I've actually just dishonored my wife. No, I have. I'm sorry. No, we needed leave. Can you guys run with it? I know I'm asking you to do this, but if I don't rest, I'm gonna get wasted. I'm tired and I need a break. So I was planning to take leave this week, but I did feel that the Lord wanted to do this. I know you guys can run without me. I mean, I've got some deacons, Quinton, Hine. I've gone blank. Trev. Dan, you know who you are. But would you, I feel so bad like asking you to do this that I need to take a break. Can I? Yeah, you have actually. You do. Just because I'm leader and vision, like envisioning you guys here, it's more important that I do take a break actually. Because otherwise, I'm not going to run strong for the rest, for what God has for us. And we have been running strong lately. I mean, you can ask the guys. Trevor's been moaning at me. When are you taking leave? 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 So is that okay? Would you guys be all right with that? And I'm asking of you, and that's not a cop-out, that Chad's not here, so we didn't have to be here. But because I want to lead by example. I do. I'm sorry. That's why we need to check with our wives sometimes before we plan things. Babes, you're planning something. But you know what? She submitted in that even to the elders. And even if these guys had to actually say to me, no, we feel you need to be there. We'll be there. We'll be there. So we'll double check and just with you guys. Okay. Ek het lang gepraat nou. Ek is moeg. Dear Jesus, we love you. We love you, Lord. Oh God, that you are so amazingly beautiful. You're so incredible. Lord, I just want to repent before you firstly, because I didn't take a moment to just remember my wife, and I ran ahead of her. And also of my own strength and capacity right now. But Lord, I want to thank you for the strength of this team that you put around me. For the men, like for the elders, the deacons, the community leaders. Lord, I want to thank you for my brothers. And I thank you that, Jesus, that when we come before you, and that when we worship you, that as much as when we pray, that we come with passion, with zeal, with a heart, Lord God, that you would just hear our prayers. But even now, like as we go from this place, as we leave and as we go into this week, and as even we prepare to come together and to pray on Wednesday night, Jesus, that we would be fired up, we would be stirred. Lord, I want to thank you that I have reliable men around me that can carry the load. That when I'm weak, they can be strong. And I pray for this congregation, Lord God. I thank you for what you're taking us into. Lord, I'm so excited. And I'm so encouraged by what you're doing in and through us. And I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for hearts surrendered. I thank you for men and women just passionate about you, about putting you first, about putting the kingdom first. Would you be honored, Lord Jesus, in our lives? Would you be glorified? Would you be magnified and exalted, Jesus? Come, Holy Spirit. Why don't we just, as we're sitting, you just start to give Him thanks and praise, just to honor Him and worship Him. Just even now, maybe you need to start that and say, Lord, I'm sorry, we haven't chatted in a while, but I'm starting today. I haven't had a conversation. I haven't even greeted, like I might have just greeted you in passing, but I really just want to come to you and say, Lord Jesus, I love you. I thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness. I praise you. I worship you. Thank you that I have life. I have breath in my lungs. I have clothes on my back. I have food in my belly. I have a roof over my head. I thank you that I have my health. I have my legs I can walk on. Thank you that I have my arms, my hands, my ears that I can hear, my nose that I can smell, my lips, my tongue that I can taste. I'm just so grateful for life. Grateful for everything, Jesus. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my wife, my husband, my children, my brothers and my sisters. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray that as we go into this week, that you would just lead us and guide us, and we would just fall more in love with you. Fall more in love with you. Be excited for what you're doing in our hearts. We bless you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. We love you. Forever. Forever. Amen. Amen.